Hello, hello. Thank you for being with us today. I'm excited for today's episode, but wanted to take a quick moment to talk about prenatal vitamins. As a doula, I encourage my clients to achieve optimal nutrition through food. However, even with the most thoughtfully planned diet, it is nearly impossible to meet the daily requirements through food alone. Ideally, you should start taking a prenatal before you find out you're pregnant, or as soon as you test positive. P.S. If this is you, congrats. Prenatal vitamins help nourish and support your body while helping you grow that cute little human inside. Nutrients like choline and folate in prenatal vitamins support healthy brain and spinal cord development in early stages of pregnancies. Prenatal vitamins are unfortunately not all made the same. My favorite prenatal brand is called Needed. I first discovered them through our Facebook community, actually. They are very supportive of our community and have secured 20% off to all of our mamas with code VBAC20. Go to thisisneeded.com and enter in code VBAC, VBAC20 at checkout for 20% off. Hello, women of strength. Merry Christmas to you. It's so fun to be recording today. It's actually, it's September when we're recording, but it's so fun to think how close we are to Christmas. So I hope you guys are having an amazing day. And if you're listening the day after Christmas, I hope you had an amazing Christmas. We have our friend Georgiana with us today. She is from Florida. Hello, love. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am so, so great. And I was just going to say, as you may hear, she's got her little one on board. So we may hear all the baby cues and noises. And what is your baby's name?
Her name is Sophia Victoria.
Sophia Victoria. Oh, I love it. I'm so happy that she is here. I actually really love when we have babies because I don't really hear those noises anymore, right? I kind of hear them as a doula for a minute, but I miss those little cues and it's so fun. So, okay, like I was saying, she is from Florida. She's a stay-at-home mom of two beautiful babies, a three-year-old and this one-month-old that she's got here with us. Yeah, she works part-time remotely and is a Christian and serves in a worship leader in a church for the youth group worship team. Is that correct? Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. Love that. And she says she's officially beginning homeschooling her toddler this year, which is super exciting. That is exciting. We've had so many moms on the podcast lately that are like, I quit my job and I'm homeschooling, or my full-time job is homeschooling. That's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. To be able to soak in like all those moments with your kids, it's like time flies so fast. You just want to treasure everything.
It's so true. It really does. I have a seventh grader, which is crazy. So yeah, super crazy. And then remind me, you used Needed's iron?
Yes, actually postpartum.
Yes, I wanted to talk about that because this is when we talk about their prenatals and their all the other things to do like during pregnancy. And we haven't really talked a lot about the iron. So can we talk a little bit about why you're taking iron and how it's been?
Yeah, so after this pregnancy, funny enough, which is something I'll tell during my story, but I passed out after I gave birth. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was to a lot of blood loss and a low hemoglobin. So after I gave birth, you know, I kept taking my prenatals, but my prenatals only had like 15 milligrams of iron in them. Mm-hmm. So that's why I decided to go for Needed. I had heard a lot of amazing reviews. I had heard about it too on the VBAC link. And yeah, and I'm currently taking one additional per day. So I'm taking around 30 milligrams of iron. And
have
that
you
has
noticed?
Tremendously.
Has it? So you've noticed a difference?
Yeah, definitely less fatigue, more energy, because I was getting dizzy a lot. In the early days of postpartum and breastfeeding, so that helps a lot too.
That's what I was going to say. It's probably helping you breastfeed as well.
Yeah, definitely an amazing supplement.
Oh, that's so awesome to hear. I mean, I believe in Needed's product wholeheartedly, so it's always so fun to hear and see that, you know, other people are loving it too. We do have a review of the week, so I want to get into that really quick, and then we're going to turn the time over to you to share these stories. This is from N. Noah, and it says generational trauma. It says, this podcast and the Facebook group has been a godsend to me. After my 56-hour failed induction and emergency C-section due to a very low heart decelerations with my daughter, I told my husband I would be happily scheduling my C-section from now on. My sister-in-law kept telling me I could be back, but I had no hope that my body could birth after such a drawn-out process that ended in failure. She puts failure in quotations. Says, my mom had three cesareans herself, the first being highly traumatic, and I never realized how much her birth experience had influenced my own physiological state as I approached labor and delivery. I researched everything with my first, from breastfeeding to infant development and sleep, but I did not read a single book or take a single class on birth. Now I realize it was because of how much fear and trauma I was carrying around with me from my mother's experiences. I walked into birth ready to fail because I didn't think I could do it. I wasn't tough enough. She says, after listening to this podcast, it has me believing in my body and preparing my mind even more before we try to conceive our next babe. I have begun working through my birth with how to heal a bad birth, which we absolutely love you guys. If you want a good birth on kind of how to heal a bad birth, that is one of our absolute favorites. So then I've already interviewed a VBAC Link certified doula to assist me in my next birth when we conceive. The resources, podcasts, and recommendations here have had me anticipating my next birth with excitement rather than dread. I couldn't be more grateful for this resource. Thank you. Wow. So many things within that review. One, just so thankful for that amazing review. And I want you to know that we are here for you in this community. And these stories are here to help empower you even further going into your next birth. I love it. She said that she hired a doula before she's even conceived. Like she's found the doula she's going to hire. And as soon as she conceives, she can hire that doula. And as a reminder, just like she said, we have a VBAC directory, you guys, with VBAC certified doulas. You can go to the vbaclink.com/find-a-doula and look for a doula in your area. Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after two C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional. Okay, Mama. Oh, look at this cute little baby with a full head of hair.
Yeah, she had a lot of hair. That's how she was born, literally all the hair.
Her hair was probably born first.
Yeah.
He's so long. Oh my gosh. Oh,
Yeah.
well, I'd love to turn the time over to you to share these stories of yours.
Okay. Well, just like every VBAC starts, it starts with a C-section. Mine was in 2021 with my first son. It was an overall healthy pregnancy, quote unquote. Every prenatal visit was normal for the most part, nothing out of whack. I do want to be transparent and say that I did not eat healthy or exercise the way that I was supposed to do. I remember working at this part-time job, and literally after I was like done clocking out, I would go straight for the Chick-fil-A. It was like Chick-fil-A every day. And well, I ended up gaining around 87 pounds during
Wow.
pregnancy.
Okay.
And yeah, and I was 215 when I delivered. So at around 39 weeks with my OBGYN, she was like, I want to schedule a C-section. because your baby is measuring really big. You know, we did the whole, oh, I forget the word, where they actually check the baby's weight.
Oh, like an ultrasound and a
Ultrasound.
growth, growth measurement.
Yeah, and she's like, this baby is looking like a 10 pounder. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like freaking out because I really wanted to give birth naturally. And that was something that I had told her about. But she was like, no, let's schedule a C-section. And, you know, just going back and forth, she was like, okay, well, at least we're going to get an induction date. So she set up an induction date for like March 15th. It was like a Monday. And I started going into labor on Friday spontaneously. And so my body went into spontaneous labor, and I didn't really know that much about, you know, laboring at home, you know, all the things that, like, right now, obviously, I know that, you know, you're supposed to do. But yeah, I labored at home for like an hour or two until contractions started getting intense, right? And then I went to the hospital, which was like an hour away. And I checked in, they checked me, I was like 2 centimeters dilated. And they took my blood pressure and they were like, you have high blood pressure. And they didn't give me a reading or anything, but they were like, we're gonna make you stay. We're gonna have you stay. We're not gonna send you home. So I was like, okay, you guys know what you're doing. So I ended up staying. I started laboring for like an hour or two. And then a nurse came in, and you know, I had explained, I was like, you know what, I really want to try and go for a natural birth. And she was like, okay, I'm gonna give you an hour, she said. I'm gonna I know, right? I'm gonna give you an hour and see where you are in an hour as far as like dilation, as far as progressing. And I was like, okay. So an hour went by. Mind you, I was strapped to, you know, the chair, because you know, there's something that you're never really taught to, like, move around or how important it is to move around while you're laboring. And then at like the 1 hour mark, she comes in, she's like, she checks me and I've gone nowhere. And she's like, okay, I'm gonna put you on Pitocin. So he induced me. Things just started getting really crazy at that point, because I first time feeling contractions, right? And those contractions are like horrible, like they're so intense. And now, having had experienced these contractions, these natural contractions from my VBAC, it's like you can automatically like tell the difference. So, you know, she puts me on Pitocin, I labor, and I had my husband with me, and it was like just back to back contractions to the point where I could rarely breathe. And I had taken like one birth class, but it was kind of like the standard, you know, the standard information. Like, they never really teach you how to breathe or the importance of getting your mind right? The importance, yeah, of just your mind and how it plays such a huge role in birth. And while I just kept laboring, I just kept literally like squeezing my husband's hand. I couldn't allow him to go anywhere, and it was like horrible. And just as the hours passed, things started getting worse and worse. They ended up breaking my water. And then, you know, it was like more Pitocin, and just, it was already Saturday. The next day, I hadn't drank anything, I hadn't eaten anything, there was no ice, there was nothing. And yeah, it just felt horrible. So nothing, I just stayed, and at one point I couldn't handle the pain anymore, so I asked for an epidural. Crazy enough, when the anesthesiologist came, he was with a student, and he had asked the student to put the epidural inside of me. And, you know, they had me sign a consent form. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is this? Because I had heard about the epidural and that, you know, it's supposed to be numb you and all the things. But I was never, I never expected to get to that point. So I got the epidural and then I just started feeling numb, It numbed me completely down. And I just, the day went by, right? It was Saturday. And then I eventually reached 10, and it was like 10 p.m. on that Saturday. And I was like, okay, well, I want to try and push. I tried to push for like an hour or two. And basically that went nowhere because they had me pushing on my back. And they were trying to tell me, just try and push as if like you're trying to go to the bathroom and poop. And it was just so frustrating because I was trying and nothing was working. So eventually, they were like, your son's heart rate is dropping. We just have to do a C-section. I felt like when she told me that, like my world came crashing down because it was like, oh, I didn't want it at all. But at that moment, as a mom, you're so vulnerable. You're going through so many emotions, mentally, emotionally, physically, so many things that it's just hard to take a decision. And obviously, you want the best for your baby. So I was like, okay, let's just do the C-section. They didn't put me to sleep entirely. It was just like my legs. But I just remembered that when they did that, I lost it and I had a very severe panic attack. I was like, I can't feel my legs. I can't feel my legs, And, there were just all these nurses around me trying to calm me down. And well, eventually we went to the C-section room. My husband was with me and they did the procedure. My son was born, thankfully. They made sure he was okay. They put him near my chest for like a minute. Then, they cut the cord, all the things. But it was like, I didn't know what to expect. I thought that that was the, what was I supposed to expect? Like to have him for like a minute and then them take him away. I didn't know anything else, right? So nothing. I stayed at the hospital for an entire week because my blood pressure rose drastically.
So you did you have postpartum eclampsia?
Yeah, technically. So without the seizures, thank God, but
Yes.
the blood pressure was like crazy high. And there was a nurse coming in every 2 to 3 hours checking my blood pressure. I got medication. Yeah, and it was just a horrible moment because it's like right there, you just gave birth to this human being while your body is like out of whack going through all of these things, and you just feel kind of like you feel like you failed. You feel like you failed and you just did like a horrible job. But I just kept in the hospital, and then like 1 week later, I was released. The C-section recovery was horrible. It was very, very painful. I couldn't even like walk or anything. Taking care of the baby was just really hard for me. And yeah, eventually my blood pressure got back to normal. And everything was well. I suffered from postpartum depression and severe anxiety, like to the point where my husband would go to work and I would stay alone in the house and I would think that I was gonna die of a heart attack. Yeah. It was my mental health was like bizarre. And I constantly felt like I was dying. I remember one night I was like, I woke up in sweats and I just felt like I couldn't breathe. And we had called the emergency, like 911. And I literally felt like I was dying of a heart attack. And they checked me and they were like, no, you're fine. It's just an anxiety attack. So yeah, postpartum was definitely definitely not the greatest experience for me either for the first.
I'm so
But
sorry to hear that that happened.
yeah, but other than that, I'm so grateful to God that my son is healthy. He is currently 3 years old. And he is just a joy to be around.
Yeah. Do you have any resources or suggestions for someone who may have experienced that before, or just in general for someone listening and in case any symptoms or anything like that that you'd like to share?
For what is specifically
For
for?
postpartum anxiety and panic attacks and stuff. Like
Yeah.
maybe to help recognize what it could be, or maybe resources that maybe helped you.
Yeah, definitely my biggest resource was definitely God, the church, prayer. I think that helped me a lot, and just having a
Yeah.
community of people that you can count on, whether that's a friend or your mom, that you can say, "Hey, mom, I'm going through this. Hey, friend, I'm going through this." Just like, pray for me or come over and please help me, please help me do some chores or, anything like that, because the weight is a lot. Like once you've given birth, it's like you're thinking about a million things, you're the
Yep.
baby and the diapers and yourself and the kitchen is a mess, and you definitely need to have the support group to lean on. But as far as anxiety, yeah, just learning where your mind is going, being able to detect those thoughts that creep in and that tell you, hey, you're not doing a good job, or you're gonna die, or this is gonna happen, and just learning to kind
Yeah.
of stop those thoughts or kind of reframe your mind. Like we have so much power in our minds.
Yep.
Like if we only knew where it could take us.
Yeah. I agree. Our minds are so powerful, and there is something about that community that can really, really help. And there's even more resources, like deeper resources. There's like postpartum support, like baby or baby, tons of things. But something that we talk about this in our course, and I won't go through all of them, but I think that it's really important to do like a self-care checklist after, and thinking about, have I eaten enough? Have I slept enough? At least 5 hours of sleep. Now, let me tell you, most of us with newborns can say no to that automatically. So maybe doing something that we can, hiring a postpartum doula, having our mother-in-law come, having our community come in and help and hold baby so we can get really good, effective sleep, having a bath or a shower, just getting ready for the day. It's weird, but it can help us mentally, right? It helps us get out of that mental funk. Exercise now in the very beginning, we can't really exercise, but that's another question. Or have I laughed? Have I allowed myself to laugh today? Or have I allowed myself to smile today? These are things, and there's many more. And like I said, we talk about those in our VBAC course because it is so important and it's not talked about enough. So I'm so glad that you were able to take this space to feel vulnerable enough to talk about your experience.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Like right now for this postpartum, I have my mom. She's like 30 minutes away, and she comes like, twice a week, and she just helps me cook
So good.
meals.
So good.
Yeah, and they're delicious, and you just have to be willing to take the help, and there's definitely help.
Yes.
So,
Yes.
yeah, it's important that we don't feel alone.
Yeah, I agree. Hello, hello. Thank you for being with us today. I'm excited for today's episode, but wanted to take a quick moment to talk about prenatal vitamins. As a doula, I encourage my clients to achieve optimal nutrition through food. However, even with the most thoughtfully planned diet, it is nearly impossible to meet the daily requirements through food alone. Ideally, you should start taking a prenatal before you find out you're pregnant, or as soon as you test positive. P.S. If this is you, congrats. Prenatal vitamins help nourish and support your body while helping you grow that cute little human inside. Nutrients like choline and folate in prenatal vitamins support healthy brain and spinal cord development in early stages of pregnancies. Prenatal vitamins are unfortunately not all made the same. My favorite prenatal brand is called Needed. I first discovered them through our Facebook community, actually. They are very supportive of our community and have secured 20% off to all of our mamas with code VBAC20. Go to thisisneeded.com and enter in code VBAC, VBAC20 at checkout for 20% off.
Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing that. Sorry, we can go on to this next birth story.
Yeah. So this next birth story, my husband and I knew that we wanted another baby, but we just didn't know when would be the right time. So like 3 years passed, well, 2.5. And we got pregnant. It was a surprise. It was a surprise, a blessing. And all I knew inside of me was like, was that I wanted a VBAC. I wanted a VBAC. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try for it again, you know? But I was obviously open to the fact that it could end up in a C-section. Like I didn't have a closed mind in that sense. So I ended up searching for providers, supportive providers. And well, after finding one, I found an OBGYN. And the first thing that I had asked was like, do you support VBACs? And, you know, they were like, yeah, we do. They had 5 doctors on board. So basically, every prenatal visit had a different doctor so that eventually when I would go into labor, one of them was going to be on my, you know, assisting me in my birth.
Yeah.
And to each one, I would always ask the same thing, like, hey, I would like to do this. Like, do you support? And they're like, yeah, we do that. And well, blood pressure was great at every prenatal visit, no concerns. I did change a lot of what I hadn't previously done in my previous pregnancy, which is I started exercising. Mm-hmm. I started walking, 30 minutes, like 3 or 4 times a week. Started eating healthier because I think that's one of the things that most people don't talk about too, nutrition and important. It is in pregnancy, like you're always told, like, eat for two. Now you have another human being, now you have to eat for two. And then we're like, oh yeah, let's eat for two. And, you know, we gain 10, 20, 30 pounds. Mm-hmm. So I tried to be mindful of what I was eating. And well, long story short, everything was going great. And at my 32 weeks appointment, I meet with a provider. I meet with one of the doctors on the team, and, you know, my same question pops up, you know, and she's like, you can't really go past 40 weeks here. You can't go. And I'm like, well, why? Like, I'm perfectly healthy. My blood pressure is fine.
Yeah. Like,
you know, why can't I go past like a day, 40 weeks, you know? And she's like, no, you can. You actually have to schedule your C-section day right now.
Oh no.
Yeah, and you have to sign a consent form, like you have to put your due date as your C-section date. And my due date was August 1st. And I was like, well, I don't understand, you know, just feeling like let on.
Yeah.
Because during the prenatal appointments, there were subtle signs, but you know, I guess I didn't really want to pay attention to them. You know, because I was like, oh my gosh, like I can't imagine switching providers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like 7 months pregnant, you know, and I was like, okay, well, thank you. I'm just going to call back and schedule that C-section, I told her. And I just remember going home and being like, wow, like this really just happened. And I remember that I started praying. And I was like, I told God and I expressed how I felt, you know, just just very overwhelmed, and like, is this really the path that you have for me? And I felt like he just told me, do a home birth. Do a home birth. And I was like, what's a home birth? Like, that is.
Like, that's not what I've been looking at all.
That is insane. And well, funny enough, I started researching and just like, is that truly an option for me? And after researching, I found a midwife, and she's actually a Christian, a pastor, a worship leader, and a midwife. So
Wow, she
she
wears a
I don't
lot of hats.
she wears a lot of hats. I don't know how she does it. But I expressed to her, I was like, am I able to do a home birth if I had high blood pressure during my previous pregnancy? And she's like, well, yeah, we will monitor you. We will make sure that you're taking care of yourself. And she did tell me, she's like, if during labor your blood pressure skyrockets, we're gonna have a plan and we'll just go to the hospital. We had like plan A, plan B. And well, I spent the last 2 months with her. She would come to my house, check my blood pressure. She had me drinking lots and lots of water, which is another thing that we underestimate or is not often
We
talked about
do.
a lot.
Yep. We do. And we really don't. We can even drink water, but we're usually not getting enough of that hydration. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And she's like, you need to be drinking like at least half of your weight in water. And all I remember was like every day I was just chugging water, chugging water. She actually advised me to take Calm. It's like a supplement, a magnesium supplement, which also helped me.
Mag calm.
Yeah, my
Yes.
calm. And that helped tremendously. That helped tremendously. And well, nothing, everything safe and sound. I was doing all the things at like 37 weeks, the mild circuits, the red raspberry leaf tea. I was eating the dates, all the things that they tell you, VBackers. And I was listening to a lot of birth stories, especially on the VBack link, which just helped me tremendously because I was able to get in a right mindset. Like the birth stories edified my faith to like a whole nother level. And I just remember, every day doing dishes, just plugging in a story, and every story was like different. And I was like, wow, like if it could happen for her, it could happen for me. Like why disqualify myself? Why disqualify my body? I think it's another thing that we do a lot. Like we often hear like, oh no, your body wasn't meant to do it, or your body can't do it.
And we hear those things and then we believe them.
That's the sad part. And well, I think I was like 39, and yeah, 39 weeks and 3 days. And I go into labor. My water broke. My water broke at like 3 in the morning. But I want to backtrack that because at like 38 weeks, my midwife checked me. I had asked her to check me. And she checked me, and I was at like a 3 centimeters dilated. And the baby was head down. The baby was head down, everything normal, everything looking good. She comes back at 39 weeks, and I'm like, well, can you check me again to see if I've progressed? Even though that doesn't really mean anything, but I was just like so excited. I was so excited. I was like, oh my gosh, And she checks me and she's like, I don't know what I'm feeling, but I'm not feeling the head anymore. Yeah. And I'm like, what do you mean you're not feeling the head? And she checks and she's like, I don't know if that is like her hand or her knees or something like that, but it's definitely not the head. And she tells me, I think I'm gonna have to send you to get an ultrasound to see the positioning of the baby. And, we spend like a couple of minutes just trying to sink that in. And she's like, but you know what? Let me just check again, because maybe I was wrong. She checks again and she's still kind of feeling the same things. But then she's like, wait, is that your coccyx? It's just like the tailbone. And I thought it was. I genuinely thought it was. So I tell her, I'm like, yeah, I think that's it. And so we're like, okay, I think we should be fine. I think that maybe it's just we're kind of like going a little loopy, or I don't know. And well, fast forward to when my water breaks at like 3 in the morning, I started feeling contractions, but nothing consistent. So during the day, I just remembered I texted her. She was like, what other symptoms do you have? And I had my bloody show, my mucus plug fell out. And the contractions were different from the Braxton Hicks that I had been facing all these weeks. So I was like, yeah, there's definitely some type of shift here because I feel like they're stronger, they're lasting longer. Fast forward to Saturday, I ended up walking with my husband. His family was in town, and that also, helped pick up the contractions. At around 6 p.m., I gave her like a contraction timer app on my phone, and that way she could see. And by the way, I also had a doula, so she had the app as well, and she was like an hour away, and she was like, please text me so that I can come out on time. And well, at around 7 p.m., they both arrived to my home, and contractions were like, I would say like 6 or 7 minutes apart. And she had me actually do nipple stimulation with my husband. They went out the room, we did nipple stimulation, and that just kind of skyrocketed everything because I had like all that oxytocin
I was gonna
flow.
say natural oxytocin flow right there.
Natural oxytocin. And I was like, whoa, like now I'm in a really whole nother dimension. And contractions were like now 3 minutes apart. Two. And I just remember, breathing. I had, worship music playing in the background. The lighting was dim. It was so different from the hospital. It was so intimate. It was something unforgettable. Like what I experienced on that day, and I compared to my hospital birth, it's like, wow, in the hospital I was like with so much tension, all the bright lights, it's so different, and she set up the birth pool. I went in and I sat down, and she was like, okay, I think it's time to push, you're at a 10. She had checked me. And so I was trying to like push, but I didn't really get it. Like I was trying to see like the intuition, because they always tell you, like, your body knows when it's gonna push. So what she did was she actually had me stand up and she coached me. She was like, okay, try standing up and seeing if you have the urge to push. And when I stood up, I got that urge. And a contraction came. I did a push and nothing happened. And then another contraction came and I just remember breathing in like super, super in. And like I just let it out and she sees knees.
What?
She
Knees?
sees knees. She sees the baby's knees come out, and she's like, oh
What?
yeah. He's like, she screams, she's like, oh yeah, she's breech, she's breech, she's coming out breech. And
Oh my goodness.
I just remember I was like, well, I was like, moaning during that period. I was just like, ooh, You know, I didn't really look at anyone, but my husband tells me to this moment, like, I just looked at the doula and she was like, you know, like had her mouth like
Like that, yeah.
on the floor. She had her
Wow.
mouth on the floor. And she was like, okay, well, you know, you have to breathe in and push in during the next contraction. And I remember that during the next contraction, I just let out like the biggest, I wouldn't say scream, it was like a roar.
Roar.
It was like a roar, you know? And she came out entirely. And, you know, my husband
What?
caught her. Yeah. I was like, I just fell. I just fell. And she's like, yeah, she was breached. So she came out knees first, then her legs, and then her whole head just popped out.
I'm dying right now. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And she just kind of just like, once her knees came out, her whole body kind of slipped out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Oh.
And it was like such a moment of shock.
Yeah. I bet for everybody.
For everyone, yeah, because we all thought she was like head down.
Yeah.
And I kept telling, I was like, wow, you were right. Like you were right. What you were feeling were the knees. And
Yeah.
she's like, thank God that I didn't send you to do, you know, the ultrasound, because you would have gotten a C-section automatically at the hospital. Like that would have been an automatic C-section.
Yeah, they wouldn't have. No, they wouldn't have even probably entertained that at all.
Yeah, and
My
well, she
gosh.
immediately put her on my chest. Oh my gosh,
Oh.
it was like so surreal. I was like, wow, like my body did this, like God really did this through me, you know? And I, you know, we went on over to the bed. They weighed her. She was 6 pounds and 3 ounces. So
Cutie
pure
little
joy.
tiny little thing.
She was tiny, yeah, which also kind of helped me because,
I'm sure.
yeah.
Yes.
And yeah, shortly after I started breastfeeding, and with my son, that was something that I really wanted to do, but he never really quite latched. So I just pumped for like 2 years. And
Okay.
for this one, you know, I didn't really expect to breastfeed. I was like, you know, if it happens, good. If it doesn't, then, you know, whatever. But when she started breastfeeding and I started, like, just, I was like, wow, like, my body is doing this too.
Yes.
You know, and like the connection that I just feel with her that I have, it's just out of this world. So that was my experience.
Wow. Had your midwife done breech before?
So she says that obviously, like when she was in training with other midwives before she went solo, she had experienced breech births. But like this was her first time solo, like alone.
Okay.
And technically, she's not allowed to deliver breech babies, like under
Yeah.
law. Like if she knows, she needs to automatically send me to.
But with your knee, if the baby's knees are coming out and baby comes out like that, like what are you gonna do?
Yeah, exactly. You don't really have any other option to just deliver the baby.
Oh my goodness. Wow. That's an amazing story. This is so awesome. Oh my gosh. And this postpartum has been much better.
Yeah, it has. During the first one, like I said, I suffered from anxiety and, you know, panic attacks, and I didn't really get that this time around. What I got this time around was like anger.
Okay. So some postpartum rage or.
Yeah, it was like rage, and it was just kind of like, I guess, just
Yeah.
handling 2 kids, the transition from like one to two kind of hit me hard. Just I didn't really know how to understand that. But same thing around, just being able to give myself grace. I had a postpartum session with my midwife and my doula, being able to let them know how I felt was very good, was very helpful. Speaking with my pastor, just kind of letting them know my feelings and how I felt had really helped me, really helped me. And I'm doing so much better now. And yeah, this postpartum has been amazing. A lot of breastfeeding, a lot of cuddles and snuggles. Seeing my son play with his sister, you know, just was something that I always dreamed of, being able to have two kids.
Oh, what a beautiful story. Thank you so much for sharing. Huge congrats. This little doll right here, she's just stunning. I mean, her head, oh my gosh, her head of hair is just insane. She has so much hair. So that's just so fun, and I'm so happy for you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Interested in sharing your VBAC? Head over to the vbaclink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to the vbaclink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Hi, birth workers. This one's for you. In an ideal world, VBAC parents would be treated just like any other birthing parents. In today's world, most medical providers sadly don't fully support VBAC parents. However, 90% of parents with a prior cesarean are good candidates to attempt a VBAC. This is why we have created the Advanced VBAC Doula Certification Program. In this doula course, we share evidence-based data for you to educate your clients, teach you the tools on helping them how to process past fears and trauma, or helping them decide if VBAC is even right for them. You will feel better prepared to support them during this beautiful experience. All VBAC certified doulas are listed on our website so parents know who you are. To learn more, go to thevbaclink.com.